Tennessee Titans rookie class reported for training camp today, Thursday, July 23rd. We're going to break down the class, what we're expecting from them in training camp, their projected roles this season, all that and more. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, we are just 5 days away from the veterans reporting, but the rookies are in the building. It's starting to feel real. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. It's, like you said, I think a fun milestone date on the calendar. The Titans rookie class reporting to training camp this morning, earlier today, Thursday, July 23rd, as you noted. Listen, going to be honest with you guys. A lot of install stuff, a lot of meetings, a lot of weight rooms, a lot of conditioning. If you're expecting to see Carnell Tate...
Carnell Tate.
Snag a ball in the back of the end zone, whatever, you're going to be disappointed. Because to my knowledge, they don't even have a quarterback in attendance, right? Like, this is a rookie class thing. You're well beyond the, you know, rookie minicamp tryouts. Like, this is the actual rookie class and the UDFA class that are there. They didn't draft a quarterback. They didn't sign an undrafted quarterback. So they're not throwing the football. They're not scrimmaging. I mean, sure, a quarterback's coach can toss the ball to Tate during warm-up. I don't even know if they're doing that, right?
Like, yeah, I don't even know if they're taking the field before the veterans get there. Like, this is just sort of reintroducing the rookies to life in the NFL. You had a nice little break. Now we're going to be going from this day.
High school orientation.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be going from this day until into February and to January and beginning of January-ish. We'll see. You never know where this team's going to wind up in their first year under Robert Saleh. But yeah, these are like you said, orientation days as they wait for the veterans or veterans report on Tuesday of next week. That's when the real stuff starts. I'll probably do their conditioning test on Tuesday, I assume, just looking at the history of how the Titans have run training camp and then take the field for Wednesday. There are a bunch of open practices to the fans that we'll talk about when those come up next week. But for now, we're still waiting for real news and for real buzz from training camp. But we can use this opportunity, Justin, to reflect back on the rookie class. We've broken them all down at various points throughout the offseason since they were selected at the end of April. But no time like the present to talk about it again. What are we expecting from this rookie class? How many of these guys are going to be starters in week one against the Jets? But then how many might be starters in week 15 when they, you know, the end of the season's coming around and either the Titans have, you know, clearly been out of it for weeks or when they're fighting to make a playoff spot, two different paths this team could go down. How many rookies are playing towards the end of the season? We're going to talk about our thoughts and expectations for this class. Justin, I think we should start with Carnell Tate.
Carnell Tate.
Fourth overall pick in the draft. We obviously have to start with Carnell Tate. I'll start by saying this. If you haven't watched the video that Cam Ward uploaded to YouTube, go do it. 10-12 minutes, short, digestible, but entertaining, lots of fun. As he's known to do, he got the pass catchers together for impromptu throwing session, workout session at the University of Miami, where he seems to have untethered access to, you know, all the facilities on a yearly basis, especially in the offseason. Great turnout for that video. I was texting Graver as I was watching it, and it's like, I was trying to round off everyone that was in attendance, and I'm like, okay, Carnell Tate is there, Wandale Robinson is there, Mason Kinsey, Xavier Restrepo, Gunnar Helm, Daniel Bellinger, I'm probably missing a bunch, Bryce Oliver, KJ Osborne, like, there were a ton of Titans receivers in it. Chimere DK, Alec Ioman are obviously, like, pretty much everyone other than Calvin Ridley and some of the lower depth guys were in attendance for it. So it was awesome watch. The reason I bring it up now is Carnell Tate had some really nice back of the end zone snags in that video where he just kind of goes up and gets it. Pro Football Focus wrote an article the other day that I picked apart in an article. I'm pretty political. I try not to do that, but Try not to do it too often, but when you earn it, you earn it. Were they ranked like all 32 wide receiver ones in the league? I think there was some like teams that had repeat names on there. Or sorry, like, you know, Bengals had Chase and Higgins, I think is what I mean. But they ranked like 32 receivers. They had Calvin Ridley as the Titans wide receiver one and ranked him dead last, number 32. And I'm like, am I taking crazy pills? I don't know in what universe Calvin Ridley is going to be the Titans wide receiver one this year. He's 31 years old, 32 years old, coming off not only a disappointing season, but one that ended prematurely due to a devastating season-ending injury at that age. I'm like, you want to go Wandale Robinson? I totally get it. But Calvin Ridley and not Robinson or not Carnell Tate? I like, you know, and I wrote an article again, picking it apart, and someone actually commented, like, he must be fun at parties. Rookie receivers do not, they're not wide receiver ones in the NFL. It takes a long time. I don't know that Carnell Tate's going to be the Titans wide receiver one. I feel confident going on record saying he's definitely going to see more volume than Calvin Ridley is, right?
Yeah.
So I've got fairly high expectations for Carnell Tate in year one. I think the chemistry between him and Cam Ward is already present. It's exciting. It's electric. To get back on topic here with the start of training camp, what am I looking for? It's, you know, what, I don't want to say what version, but we know when he started OTAs, it was dominant. He was abusing Micah Robinson. I don't know this for sure, but I heard Robinson may or may not have filed a restraining order against him based on what those practices were going like. But things seem to quiet down a little bit at minicamp when the real Titans, you know, number one, number two corners showed up. Alante Taylor, Cordale Flott, you know. So what does it look like for Carnell Tate at training camp? Is he catching three touchdowns a day like he did on the first open practice at OTAs? Or are these experienced corners, you know, kind of welcoming him to the NFL a little bit and what's his form like? So really, really excited to monitor Carnell Tate at training camp. And, you know, he reported this morning.
Yeah. And, you know, just on that Calvin Ridley point, like Calvin Ridley will be lucky to be the number three receiver for the Titans this year if he can even maintain that role.
Like,
it's not like a bold take. That's a fact. Like, they signed Wandale for a lot of money, then they drafted Carnell Tate fourth overall. Like, there's no world where Calvin Ridley maintains close to the role that he had the last two seasons when healthy, which was, you know, not a lot of last season being healthy. So
I couldn't believe they put him at number one. I couldn't believe it.
That's just lazy reporting. Maybe it was done by AI, dare I say. Who knows?
They had two names on the article who I recognize. Like, they do good content for them. They're, I think, holdovers from the previous ownership. Dalton Wasserman and
Claude Max. And ChatGPT.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, you know, Alante Taylor was recently on In the Bayou with Tyrann Mathieu, a podcast, and he talked about a lot of things, his decision to come to Tennessee, a lot of things, but also was asked about Carnell Tate, and he raved about Carnell Tate in this podcast clip. You know what, Justin? I'm going to play it tomorrow. It's going to be the intro to our Friday live show. So come back to the channel. You'll see the clip yourself, but it's Alante Taylor just talking about how he didn't know Carnell Tate had that in his bag already is one of the phrases he used. And that he's like surprised. He was surprised by how good Carnell Tate was, how quickly Carnell Tate was covering him. He specifically said in OTAs. So, yeah, I'm expecting Carnell Tate to be awesome. Cam Ward on that, Debo and Joe show that we talked about on Monday. Was that Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Monday was Netflix quarterback review. Tuesday was, yeah.
On Tuesday's show, we broke down that interview that Cam Ward did. And one of the clips we played was him talking about how Brian Daboll is going to use Carnell Tate all over the field, open up the routes, not because he needs to learn to run more routes, but because he has the ability to run more routes at a high level that he didn't get to show off at Ohio State. Brian Daboll's going to let him do that. If there are any rookies that are going to be major actual contributors to the 2026 season, Carnell Tate tops the list. He's the only guy that I think is penciled or sharpied in for a starting role. And I think this the what am I trying to say? I got it. for a starting role, and I think the sky is the limit for Tate's rookie season. I'm drafting him everywhere I can in fantasy. Like, I really think he's going to have one. And you mentioned earlier the trolls that were commenting about how a rookie can't be a number one receiver. Like, point them to the rookie seasons of Odell Beckham Jr., Malik Neighbors, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Like, there's plenty of rookie receivers.
Tet McMillan last year.
Puka Nacua set a record when he came in the league.
I did this exercise recently. We've pretty much had a 1,000-yard rookie receiver, like, every year. I think there was one year where we did it, like, in the last 6 or 7 years. Like, there's always 1,000 yards. In one year, there's like three of them. Like, there's like recently. We always have 1,000-yard receiver nowadays.
Yeah, so I think Carnell Tate's going to be that guy this year. Has a great chance to be.
Justin, he's on the field for the first snap week one. I think he is against the Jets.
Of course he is. 100%. I would be absolutely blown away if he's not on the field for the first snap of week one. All right, Justin, we got six other rookies to talk about. We talked way too long about Carnell Tate. We will be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back. Justin, the Titans made two first-round picks in April's draft. Carnell Tate. Wait.
Carnell Tate.
Obviously one of them. The other one, Keldrick Falk, who, coming in at that defensive end room, a big position to need for this Titans defense, but they also added a lot of bodies there between Jermaine Johnson, Jacob Martin, and all the guys on the interior of the D-line. You got Jalen Harrell coming back this year, and Femi Oladejo coming off an injury. But Keldrick Falk's the guy that could really make this, take this room from a weakness to a strength if he's able to hit the ground running. Came in as not like a project, but a bit of a developmental guy who is going to have a way different role in the NFL than he had in college, which, different role means there will be some sort of transition. How quickly are you expecting Keldrick Falk to be like a legitimate contributor on defense? How many snaps, what percentage of snaps do you think he's playing in week one? And by the end of the season, like what do we think for Keldrick Falk this year?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because I swear I was going to bring up like percentage of snaps for him. I'm excited about Keldrick Falk. I promise I am. But I'm setting my expectations a little low, I think, for a number of reasons. Number one, we know they're going to rotate a lot there. And as you mentioned, Jermaine Johnson, Jacob Martin, kind of proven, trustworthy veterans, Femi Oladejo coming back. Like, we know they're going to rotate a lot. I think some of those guys are going to be heavily involved. So right off the bat, I go, I don't think he's going to play a ton. And then regarding his role this year, like, I expect there to be somewhat of a transition because he's a better pass rusher than Auburn allowed him to be last year. But I also wouldn't be shocked if the Titans asked him to do similar things, which is stop the run on early downs and maybe trust guys like Jermaine Johnson and Jacob Martin to be more of the pass rushers of this unit.
I don't know, Justin. I think you need to get like a traditional defensive line role style split out of your brain, because Robert Saleh is like, if you're playing more than four plays in a row, you're doing something wrong, right? That was the famous quote he said. And I thought about it, Justin. I think I know what he meant by that. He didn't mean that it's impossible for his defensive lineman to stay on the field. He meant everybody's going three and out. If our opposing offense is not going three and out, the defense did something wrong, which is kind of true in a way. So maybe that's all he was talking about, was just like, we're not going to play four plays in a row. Our defense is going three and out every time. You ever think of that?
That'd be nice. I guess I don't know what to expect from Keldrick Falk as a pass rusher this year.
Right.
Because he's big, he's long. I think run stopping is obviously his calling card. But I do think there's untapped potential as a pass rusher. In fact, we saw it in 2024 when Auburn kind of allowed him to rush the passer more frequently. He generated more pressures. He recorded more sacks, you know, things of that nature. But I wouldn't be stunned if he was like early down run stopper in this defense, at least to start off. He's a rookie. You're not overloading his plate, not putting too much responsibility on his back. So that's why I'm keeping my expectations lower. And honestly, transitioning to the final point of the Keldrick Falk conversation, like the snap count, 25%, you know, is that too low? They're going to rotate a bunch and they've got other veterans here. So 25-30%, like I honestly think that's where I'm setting my fair expectations.
I think that's too low. Maybe week one, that's the snap share. But even then, I mean, he's still a first round pick. I get it. You know, 31st pick is not the same as fourth overall in terms of capital and value, but it's still a high draft pick. You expect your first round draft picks to be maybe not day one starters, but by the end of year one starters, right? And he's competing with, yes, Jermaine Johnson, but Jacob Martin. Like, and I guess he's also competing for an early down role with John Franklin Myers, who is technically a defensive tackle, but has, you know, outside, traditionally in Salah's defense, been used outside. I think the thing that gives me the most hope for Keldrick Falk having a really contributing rookie season versus sort of just like an invisible one where we hope he does something next year is the coaching. The coaching from Aaron Whitecotton on that defensive line, Robert Saleh as the leader of the defense, Gus Bradley as the official defensive coordinator, and even Tanzel Smart coming in as assistant D-line coach, a guy who's played with a bunch of other players on that defensive line. He is going to get some of the best coaching at this position that you can get in the league. This right now during training camp, he was getting it during OTAs and mini camp. I wonder if, you know, what he was told to go work on over the last 4 to 6 weeks, right, while they've been off. Like, I'm curious to see if these, you know, coaches who have a long track record of developing talented defensive linemen, getting their hands on him, if that has an impact on how quickly he can contribute. We won't know that for quite a while, though. So, Justin, I think we can talk about Anthony Hill Jr., second round linebacker, Titans trade up for two consecutive picks. Keldrick Falk in the first round, Anthony Hill in the second round. And they needed a linebacker. We talked a lot about them drafting a potential linebacker, but I didn't really see Anthony Hill. Like, he wasn't on my radar as a guy I thought the Titans would draft. I'm thrilled that they did. Hook 'em horns. I will still maintain, despite every time I bring this up, we get multiple comments saying, you're crazy. There's no way Cody Barton starts over Anthony Hill. Cody Barton's old and bad and washed, and Anthony Hill's young and exciting. Guys, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong. But guys, rookies don't do that very often. Non-first-round rookies don't very often come to a new team where there are entrenched starters and rip a job away. It's very rare. Coaching staffs like veterans because they can trust them, because they know the system and they know what they're doing. Even new coaching staffs taking over a new team still tend to rely on veterans. So I will continue to maintain that I don't think Anthony Hill takes on a very big role until maybe mid to late season. Like, I think he'll have some plays where he contributes as a rookie, but I really don't see him winning the starting job in training camp. And I will be happy to be wrong about that if that's what ends up happening.
I'm with you, right? I think Cody Barton's very likable. He's very smart. He's mature. He's a leader, right? Like, there's just so many things that coaches tend to like about Cody Barton that I'd love if Anthony Hill was starting week one, right? Means he had a phenomenal training camp, did everything he needed to do. But I'm with you. I think he, you know, sub-package player early on, contributor, put him in positions where he could rely on his athleticism and maybe not as much read and react stuff, because it's tough to do as a linebacker coming out of college, right? And I thought he was a little raw coming out of Texas, right? Like, pretty reliant, I think, on the athletic traits and explosiveness and sideline to sideline speed and things of that nature. But reading keys, triggering downhill, all that stuff, probably going to be a work in progress. And yeah, I think that makes it, you know, pretty tough for him to dethrone Cody Barton, at least in week one. And like we could say this about all these guys, but yeah, I'm excited to monitor his progress and his involvement at training camp. And, you know, especially as a linebacker, like, nothing really matters until the pads come on. Like, right. They raved about him in OTAs and mini camps, and he had an interception that they clipped and they posted on social media. But it's like, yeah, I kind of want to see what it's like once the pads come on and the O-line and the running backs can be physical with him and, you know, see how he responds to that. But we're in agreement. And I want to revisit middle of the year, the Keldrick Falk conversation. Not that we had a debate or argument, but I'm so curious. Is he as involved as you think he's going to be, or is it more what I think? And so curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, we will revisit everything throughout the year, Justin. 5 days a week, we'll be back here doing our thing. All right, let's take our last break here, Justin. We'll come back, talk about the rest of the rookie class. Welcome back. All right, Justin, because it's been so long since the draft, I'm just going to read off the rest of the Titans draft picks to remind our audience. I remember. I've got it all right here, but just so our audience remembers. Offensive lineman Fernando Carmona, running back Nick Singleton, defensive tackle Jackie Marshall. You'll forget about that one if you're just, you know, a kind of casual fan. I know I do. Center Pat Coogan and tight end Jaron Kanick. That is the Titans draft class. Is there anyone in that group that you think contributes beyond a special team, a limited special teams role in 2026?
No. The honest truth is no. I know some of you want them to, and I've had comments like, listen, I'm going to group them. Let's talk about the O-linemen, okay?
Yeah.
Like, in what world, besides everyone getting hurt, are these guys playing? We know it's Austin Schlotman. I keep forgetting the new pronunciation. I think it's
That's
Schlotman,
correct.
Right? Yeah. Austin Schlotman at center. And if he were to get hurt, I mean, I don't know that Andre James makes the 53-man roster, but he might at least be on the practice squad if he's not. So if Schlotman gets hurt, it's probably Andre James. Or maybe it's Jackson Slater if he doesn't win the right guard job, because we know he's flexible enough to play center. Or heck, even if he wins the right guard job, maybe they move him to center if Austin Schlotman gets hurt. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. I don't see any universe where Pat Coogan plays this year, and I feel the same way about Fernando Carmona. We know it's Jackson Slater and Cordell Volson at right guard. And there's been a lot of hype lately about Cordell Volson, you know, being the reliable veteran, 48-game starter, winning that right guard job. Honestly, it would not surprise me at all if it happens. Same. And if he does, then it's pretty clear that Jackson Slater's his backup, right? And if Slater wins that job, it's painfully obvious that Cordell Volson is the backup. So I don't see any universe whatsoever where Coogan or Carmona play this season.
Barring injury, right. I am totally with
barring,
you.
Not barring injury, barring multiple injuries.
Yeah, barring injuries, I guess I should say. But yeah, that's the only, like, that's their only path to play. They're not just going to go win a starting job. They're not in a camp battle. They are fighting to make
the number two job, right? Like, they're not even the primary.
No, they're fighting to make the roster as day three rookies. Let's keep the perspective, everybody. We're very excited for the guy who was, you know, the center captain of the Indiana national champion team and won a Rose Bowl MVP. Or something like, we're very excited for these guys for next year. These are 2027, you know, development guys that they're probably gonna rely on next year, not this year. So keep that in mind. And I feel the same way about, you know, Jackie Marshall might be in the rotation, right? Give him 15% of snaps, probably maybe 20 max.
Yeah, maybe,
maybe not even that. Yeah, 10 maybe. He's going to be a rotational guy on the defensive line if he even makes the team, right? Like, there's no guarantee that I'm expecting him to make the team, but they did sign a veteran defensive lineman towards the end of minicamp.
Jalen Holmes. Yeah, because I'm
Jalen Holmes.
Like, they probably keep at least 5 D tackles, right? So it's Simmons, Franklin Myers, Elliott, Solomon Thomas. Like, those are your 4. You can write them in Sharpie. Jackie Marshall, probably the 5th, based on they used a little draft capital on him. But I'm with you, like Jalen Holmes, who they signed at the end of minicamp, I think it was, or beginning, something around minicamp. His, like, an 8-year vet who's played a lot of NFL games, he's probably going to push him. And then they got a couple of sophomore UDFA, or, like, no, Cam Horsley might be the only sophomore UDFA. I always include Timmy Horn in my brain in sophomore, but he's not actually, I think he was somewhere else. Like, they signed him last offseason out of nowhere. So Timmy Horn, Cam Horsley, like, these guys are going to push. But I'm with you. Marshall is probably the early favorite for the number 5 spot. And, yeah, I think if he even wins it, if he does win it, then, yeah, he's playing 7 snaps a game max.
He has the best chance of any day 3 rookie to, like, play a role on offense or defense. Agreed. And that role is very limited still. The other guys that, you know, the Titans fans are excited about, Nick Singleton. Nick Singleton may very well be the running back of the future for this team, or at least part of a committee of the future. But he is not going to be part of the 2026 running back room, barring major injury to Pollard or Spears or both. Robert Saleh has said it multiple times. He's got a long way to go to catch up with those guys. They are our bell cows. Robert Saleh loves Tony Pollard. Consummate pro. How could you not love Tony Pollard as a coach? Tajay Spears, if he stays healthy, leaves no role for Nick Singleton. And look, I'm excited about Nick Singleton too, but he's working back from an injury, which means that it's a slower acclimation process for him, which means that it's a slower process to earn the coaching staff's trust, which means that he's probably not going to do that until, you know, if they are forced to throw him into a game, that's his best chance to go earn the coaching staff's trust, because he didn't get to do it during the spring portion when everybody else is doing it. So I don't have very high hopes for Nick Singleton. And I think Jared Kanick might have the biggest role on the team outside of any of these guys. But if he does, it's a pure special teams role, where he may have a bigger special teams role than Jackie Marshall has role on the defense. But again, there's not a day three rookie that I'm looking at saying the Titans got a steal who's going to contribute in 2026. If the Titans got a steal in any of these picks, we will find out in 2027, and that's just sort of that's the reality of being a rookie in the NFL and not being a first round pick, you know.
And listen, we're not trying to shut the door on these guys. Guess what? Austin Schlotman is a short term deal. Pat Coogan might be the center of the future. If Jackson Slater doesn't win the right guard job this year, then next year we might be more excited about Carmona over him, right? And saying, well, Carmona is going to get a chance, because I think Cordell Volson's on a one-year deal, right? So it's like, and Nick Singleton, Pollard and Spears on expiring deals. I've been big with you on pumping the brakes for expectations for Nick Singleton this year, but I will say the elephant in the room, and I'm going to keep saying it, is Tajay Spears' health, right? Like if yeah. Tajay Spears, he's missed 4 or 5 games in consecutive years. If that happens again, then there's at least a more realistic pathway compared to everyone else for Singleton to become the number two in the rotation. It's not guaranteed, but there's a pathway there, right? Because the other guys aren't very talented in that running back room. So we'll see on Singleton, but I'm with you. If Pollard and Spears are healthy, then I think it's pretty clear that there's a lot of separation between them and Singleton right now. And then, yeah, closing out with Jaron Kanick, special teamer. Maybe he leads the team in special team snaps this year. I wouldn't totally rule that out. I mean, if Bryce Oliver's on the team, if David Martin Robinson is on the team, James Williams, those guys have been proven special teams assets over these last couple years. But I do think Kanick probably makes the team and has a very notable role on special teams. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. The Titans rookie class reported to training camp earlier this morning, and we delivered an episode previewing what our expectations are for all 8 draft picks at training camp. Remember, the veterans will join them next week, Tuesday, July 28th. That's when things will really start ramping up. But we'll be back tomorrow with our first live stream in weeks. We know the Audible Army is going to show up for the first one, and we took a couple weeks off where we had pre-recorded episodes for you guys on Friday. We're back with the live conversation tomorrow, Friday morning, 10:30 a.m. Central, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Do whatever you gotta do to be there. Call in sick to work, quit your job, leave your wife, whatever you gotta do, you will be there tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. Central, for the first live stream in a couple weeks. Until then, and I'm not going to let Graver say anything about the whole wife thing, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.